Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Métis Voices Radio. And here's your host, Dale Haggerty.
Tansay, everyone. Welcome. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce my guest for tonight, one of our board members and a director of the Métis language, Renee Perrault. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you, Dale. Nice to be on here.
Yes. Renee, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then I'm just going to let you talk and introduce yourself.
Okay.
It's so nice to have you here on our show, and how are you tonight?
Papil, meaning good.
First of all, Renee, I'd like to ask you, where did you live? Where were you born and where did you live? Where did you basically grow up?
I was born and raised on the first Métis settlement of Manitoba in a little hick town known as La Coulée, which is located 26 miles east of Fort Garry on the Dawson Road, on the old Dawson Road, which is 3 miles east of St. Anne's and 3 miles west of Richard. It's a little town on its own there. It's still there today. And lots of my family are still living there. We never got mixed and moved off our land.
Are you saying you still got the same land that your the script that
we still got the same script, the same homestead. We've never moved.
Wow, that's fabulous. Have you actually got a copy of your script yourself?
Yes, I have copies of a lot of scripts.
Wow.
Because in the 1878, Julie Riel sold St. Boniface to my great-grandpa.
Wow.
You can Google that on Google on the computer.
Wow.
Just
tell us a little bit more.
And we're 15 kids. We're all born at home, except for three. All born right there on the community. No hospital. But we had our little chapel and our own school. I went to the same school that my dad went to, and I'm 67 today, so it's been there for a little while. Antique. And all my brothers went to school there. We all lived in the log house, of course. It got pretty crowdy. And in the summertime, my mom always made a big garden, and we gathered strawberries and choke cherries and Saskatoons and blueberries, you name it. We done it. And we had to make hay for the animals because I grew up on the farm, eh?
Yeah. How many brothers have you got?
Living now, I got six. I got six brothers living and three sisters.
Wow.
The rest have passed away.
Yeah, are they still living in Manitoba?
I got one brother that lives here in BC. The rest are in Manitoba, yeah.
I was going to say, Renee, I guess you were the only wandering Métis. Is that how it works?
Out of
you
my
and your
brothers?
Yeah.
No, there's a few more brothers that wandered around.
You know, they say that a good Métis never settles down. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I've worked all around on all places, from Ontario down to now Vancouver Island, where I retired.
What did you do for a living there, Renee?
Back in Manitoba, I did everything. From the last job I did there in Manitoba, I was a foreman on roofing. I moved to Surrey, B.C. in 1963. I became a permit helper as a sprinkler fitter for Local 170. After three months, they put me fitting on the permit. I've been running jobs ever since.
Oh. Yeah, that's good. I guess obviously, then you worked in a mill as well on the island, you must have, right? Or...
Oh, I worked mills from here to Hudson Bay, Saskatchewan.
Oh, my
God. Mills,
goodness.
Warehouses, stores, you name it, I've done them.
Are you in the same trade as Mr. Belcourt?
Mr. Belcourt is a plumber.
Oh, you're
a sprinkler fitter, fire protection.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did you when you were living on the farm there growing up, did you, I guess, speaking that now because you're a Machif language, you grew up there, did you always talk Machif or did they?
We always talked Machif, we talked Machif at home and at school, eh? We took English at school.
Wow.
Like, we all went in, like, it was in one room, like the school you see on the little house on the prairie there. It was the same thing. From grade 1 to grade 9, there were about 40 of us all in the same room.
Wow.
When you get in there at 9 o'clock in the morning, you had to run around the school till about 10 to warm up, because it was wood heat, hey?
Yeah.
Then we had our drinking water would be on top of the stove. There'd be a dipper. You know what that is?
Yeah, that's a
metal drinking cup with a handle, a ladle on it.
Yeah.
So by 11 o'clock, you'd be lucky you could get a drink of water. Because that would be thawed out on the stove. And we all drank out of the same dipper.
Wow.
And all outside outhouses. No toilet paper except old catalogs.
Yeah.
That's
below
was pretty cool.
I bet you Eaton's would. Hey, Renee, you were talking about you've been in school, and you the most popular catalog in your day was the Eaton's catalog, was it?
Yeah, Eaton's and Chips and Cheers, we had both.
Oh, you had both for toilet paper. Hey, that's good.
Ironically,
I think Cheers is the only catalog left.
At 40 below, it's pretty cold, I'll tell you.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk some more about your little childhood. This is a really interesting story.
Anyway, in the wintertime, I used to catch wild rabbits, a little trap line there.
Oh.
And I used to sell them to the priests, eh? The Catholic priests. They couldn't have no bumps on them. As you know, if a rabbit, when he runs in the bush, he hits a tree, he gets a bump. So they had no bumps, 25 cents a rabbit. That was in winter. They're cheap, those guys. But anyway, I had to bring in firewood and milk to clean the barn and all that kind of stuff, eh? On a farm. Then in the summertime, I could say we had all kinds of berries, make hay for the cows and the horses. And we always had lots of food, but lots of hand-me-down clothes, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Being a seventh son, eh?
Yeah. Where were you, Renee? Were you in the middle? Were you the youngest, oldest?
No, there's one, two, three, four, five younger ones than me.
Wow.
Yeah. And every summer, my dad had to chink the cracks on the house, okay? And in Manitoba, where we lived, so the soil was pretty sandy. So he used to take straw, cow manure, and dirt, right? And mix it all up together, then chink all the cracks that way to wash it look good as new.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you got a picture of that walls.
Yeah.
But we were all.
I was saying you sent me an earlier picture of a 200-year-old pipe. Tell me a little bit of.
Oh, I got that off my daughter.
Yeah.
Which she got it off a newfie that she was living with. It belonged to his great great grandpa.
Wow.
Newfoundland.
Oh.
But if you look at the Métis shoals there in Manitoba.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pipe they smoke, eh?
Wow.
But I've got that, and I found a little Indian carving about a foot high.
Yeah.
But I can't find out where it comes from.
No. Wow.
Do you like that pipe?
Oh, yeah, it was really nice. It's really, really interesting. I was going to say, did your mom do a lot of embroidery?
No, but she did a lot of sewing.
She used to
sew all our clothes, eh?
Oh, yeah.
But no embroidery.
No.
But all those five roses flower back after she finished making a galette there.
She used
to dye them and make us shirts and all kinds of stuff like that. Out of those flower bags.
Yeah. Did any of your family do embroidery? In Nogis and Mason?
The second sister after me does a bit of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she does a little bit, and her granddaughters are into the Métis stuff over there, too. Eh?
Yeah.
Like they've been making plates and all that. Then I've got a great nephew that's on the native music in there in Manitoba. He won best CD fiddling this year. And the original music.
Yeah. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
So what made you... Yeah, go ahead. What made you come to be...
I come to visit my brother in 1963.
Yeah.
Okay, then he talked me into staying.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I went back for 1990, for a couple of years I came back. This is God's country up here.
Yeah, it is. I'm a very true Métis, but I never knew about my roots because I was brought up in BC, and unfortunately, you know, I wish I would have learned even to speak French a little bit here, but, you know, it was a very tough language to sell in British Columbia. You know, it's a very tough language.
It would be, and it still is.
Yes, it is.
Because if you take our big fearless leader here, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I talked to him in French, and, you don't like it. You don't even recognize me. Let's put it this way. We go to the same community, huh?
Yeah.
But he's Mr. Big Shot, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the same as his chief speaker he parades around.
Yeah.
She's a Cree instructor, okay?
Yeah.
I've got a scan of the words coming out of her own mouth. She wrote it. I got it on the computer.
Yeah.
And another beef I got with our leaders. In 2002, I went to Winnisquin, Saskatchewan, okay? But it's when they got the biggest Cree museum there. You know, when you first get there, they got a buffalo pond, and there's a lady talking about making pemmican.
Yeah.
Then I went on the other side, and it shows you all the old stuff, okay? Then I come to this big placard, about a 4x4 card there. That got my eye.
Yeah.
It says on there, the true Métis. And Dale... There's not a word of Cree mentioned on this placard, okay?
Yeah.
It says the true Métis. It says Scots and Native women. Native. Not Cree, not Ojibwe. And then French and Native.
Yeah.
The French were more to blame because they donated more blood. There was more of them, okay? I went back 3 years ago. That placard is gone off the floor, eh?
Yeah.
Not there no more.
Wow.
I went to Fort McLeod.
Yeah.
The provincial government of Manitoba with Louis Riel and his counselors.
Yeah.
All the names have been removed.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in 20 years from now, none of the kids will know who these guys are.
Yeah.
Because the reason I bitch, because my great-grandpa's right in the front, eh?
Yeah.
And Louis Riel is my great-grandpa's first cousin through marriage.
Yeah, wow, there you go. Listen, Renee, I'm going to take a little break here. What I'd like to say is, in the meantime, if there's anyone that would like to phone in and ask Renee any questions or just make a comment, The new phone numbers here are, and now listen, these are the new phone numbers. They are 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. This is a worldwide toll-free numbers. You can call in. And there's also that I have to mention here, due to the rise of cost in broadcasting, because the Machif Historical and Cultural Preservation Society is a non-profit society, any donations that you can make to the BBS radio program, if you make a donation, they will keep us on the air. We do not profit from this. All we want to do is be an information Métis, Machif language, to make everybody aware that we're out there doing this. And we would like anybody much appreciated. You can use the PayPal donation button on the site, on the Métis Voices Radio page, and it's on Friday Station 2 as well. And also, if you subscribe to the archive section, that also really helps us out. Anyways, and here's my guest again, Renee. So now you're living in BC, Renee, and I heard you are a new member of the Machif Historical and Cultural Preservation Society as a board member for your language. I would like to know that I heard that you actually have made your own CD, and I'd like you to also, you know, mention where you can buy this CD or what's on it and all this. Go ahead, Renee.
Well, on my website there, on my page, I've got my email there. It's deeproo1@telus.net.
We'll post his Renee's website on our museum website there. So if anybody's interested in getting a hold of Renee and the CD for Machif language, and is there music on it?
No, there's no music. I just talk. I talk in English, and then translated to French Machif.
There you go. Now, this dialect, Renee, there is different dialects, though, isn't there, of Machif?
Well, this is what they claim. But me, myself, I can come from BC and go all the way to Quebec and understand them. You know what I mean? Like Bruce, he says we're Prairie French. There is no such thing as Prairie French. You got two kinds of French, French-Canadian and Paris French.
Yes.
What did you find out on that website I sent you the other day about the Hudson Bay Capot?
Yeah.
Did you find it?
It's... we'll have to keep that off the air.
Okay. But, you know, I've been telling them that for the last 10 years, and they laugh at me as if I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not gonna say this as a rule, but you know, when they were interpreting our language, you know, some of the English forts, the traders there, you know, they called them they were the guys in charge of the forts and getting selling and getting the furs, and they were also part of the registry of the for the Machif people, and I think they just, some of them just could not speak and write and pronounce the words. So a lot of the writings were really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not agree?
Yes, I agree. And I agree to another thing. Our leaders that we have now, they're bringing in, let's say, like this Peter Backer, a linguist from Holland. Who is he to write the Machif language out here? A youngster from Holland. I'm sure there's enough people out here that can talk Machif that they don't have to import one from Holland, of all places.
Yeah, well, you know, that's always what it is. You know, they don't go to the people that really know what they're doing, and it's unfortunately, you know, we have a problem with our leaders. Once they get into power, they forget who they are and where they came
from. It's all for their pocket and nobody else. My opinion.
Yeah, there you go. You know, like I says, you know, it's like, you know, the whole idea with in building a nation is to use the nation for stuff like this, but there's too much animosity between who wants to be a little chief or a big chief or whatever, you know.
You got that right.
Yeah. You know, if we all worked together, you know, and we did things together, and we would be the most powerful nation around, you know that.
Oh, yeah, we'd be a lot better off. Well, you look at it now. They're asking the government for $4 million. Well, you know yourself, you'll never see a penny of it, neither will I. Because our leaders are too busy thinking how to spend this money before they even get it. Like I put a note on the internet. If Strahl had any brains, he'd cut all the funding off and then just watch all the rats jump ship.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like you should be, they should be taking you around to small communities and putting on language programs and then teaching, and then once you've been teaching the other elders and young people, they should be going around and spreading their words and stuff like this. You know, it's amazing, you know. You know, the funny thing about it, you know, I got to tell you something there. I was in Williams Lake, and I'm teaching finger weaving, and, you know, and elders came up to me, and he said to me, he says, why are you doing this? And I says, well, because it's our art, it's our teachings, it's the way it is. And he said, well, what is this going to cost me? And I looked at him and I said, why would you even think that it was going to cost you anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I says,
yeah.
Can we not share our culture without having a price tag to it? He had to sit down, Renee. He had to sit down because it was coming from me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take here in BC, we have a BJF speaker, okay, working for the MNBC. I'm going to mention, I don't care. She comes to the Mid-Island where I go. She is a Cree instructor, okay, but she gets paraded around the cross Canada as a BJF speaker. She don't know a word.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sure she gets paid for it. Well, I had a talk with René Terrien, and he said, oh, she knows the language a little bit, but it's a different dialect. Sure, it's a different dialect. You take that guy, you went to school with Catholic nuns. It would be a different dialect than French, but Jeff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The dialect would be different there, definitely. But I'm related to this guy. You know, on my great-grandma's side. On my grandma's side. But he can fool people with his fiddle, but not with his language. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. So Renee, you actually got a CD. How long is it?
It's about 10 minutes, I guess. It's not very long.
Yeah.
And I give them 3 pages of language in 3 different languages, okay?
Yeah.
Because it sounds the same, the spelling is way different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How do you spell MECHIF?
MECHIF.
Oh, there you go.
You see, you had a guy on the air there last week, a guy by the name of Claude Boivin.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what he was saying, I believe in him. Because Right now, like an elder talked to me, he'd be about 125 years old now. He told me, Rene, says when the European first came and they landed in Lower Canada, he said they mixed with Rene right there. The children were known as Little Michif. Then they became Coureurs de Bois, Voyageurs, and Trappers. They migrated to Manitoba, and there they crossed with the Plains Native, and they became Métis. This is what I was told, and I started to believe this whole fellow.
Yeah. Somebody actually thinks that they actually had a helicopter. They actually landed in Manitoba, and then they started having kids from Manitoba.
Yeah. I don't know if you know it, but you cut in and out, ain't you?
Yeah. I was just saying that some people have it interpreted that the Métis came from Manitoba, but they landed from France into Manitoba by helicopter. Is that true?
That's a good one. Hey, and it was like today. I went to the conservation office today, okay?
Yeah.
And I brought them my coat of arms for the name Prue.
Yeah.
And you can Google that. Prue coat of arms is an eagle on there, okay? How can the Americans say their birds? Hey, how can they say their bird? And I go back to 1014 in Nantes, France.
Yeah.
So that lady told me there, Rene, says, you're now into the teacher's tenure with School District 69. You won't have to pay for permits anymore. You can get as many centers as you want without the natives having to sign for you. So I figured that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good. Yes, that's very good. Yeah, so.
Yeah. So I got 3 wings today and 2 talons.
Yeah.
But that bird, when it toss out, it don't smell too nice. To pull the feathers off.
There you go.
But I got nice feathers to give to the kids.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it's this isn't to offend any of our American listeners there that... But we only lend them the eagle because they usually all land in North Vancouver, and they feed there, and then they go and they go and fly across the United States, and you know they're just like how do you call those people that go from Toronto to Florida?
Migrate.
Yeah, they migrate.
From Squamish. That's where you see lots here in BC.
That's right. Yeah. So. Well, so Rene, tell us a little bit about more when you were growing up. Tell us some stories. Tell us a few little stories that you'd like to share with everybody.
Well, I'll tell you a good story. I left school at 13 years old. I thought I was smarter than the teacher, okay? If I know what I know today, I'd be back in school. So anyway, in the wintertime, we had to go work in the bush. So me and the brother, of course, Mom would give us the galette and whatnot, frozen beans. We put up our own shack, okay, out of slabs. The blankets that we used on the horses during the day, we used on us at night, okay? And all we had in there was an airtight heater in the shack. So you went to bed with your parka, your felt boots, your toque, you name it, all dressed up, eh? You woke up in the morning with 4-foot icicles inside the shack. I did that 4 years in a row. That was it for me.
Yeah.
This Métis smartened up. And I went to work the town, but man, he was it ever cold.
I heard in Manitoba, the mosquitoes are bigger than the birds. Is that true?
Oh, you got that right there, like DC-8 that misses a strip.
Yeah.
When they land on you.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, and when we worked in the bush, well, we had to make a hole in the swamp to make a shallow well for drinking water.
Yep.
And anyway, we used these slabs to stop the dirt from coming in. In the morning, we had to chop the ice off the top of the water, right? In the ice, there'd be mice frozen in there, right? Take the mice, throw it away, drink the water. We had no choice.
Oh, yeah.
And today, they say, wash your hands. Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, we had it pretty rough.
Yeah.
But then, like I say, I thought I was smarter than the teacher.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, I went back to school. I'm going to be an instructor in my trade. And like I said, I was just talking to a bunch of young people out here, and it says that, you know, that they're not working and they're thinking of going back to school. And I says, hey, well, look at me. I'm 55 years old, and I went back to school to learn. So, you know, you never get too old to learn.
You're going to be a glazier.
Oh, yeah, I was a glazier. I was a glazier for over 30 years, 32 years. And now I'm going to be I hope to be an instructor to teach people how to put glass together and keep safe.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, yeah. See, that's pretty well what I was doing in the fire protection at the end there, too, eh? I was working for Stewart Fire. I was doing all the upkeep on the fire panels and that at Grouse Mountain and Whistler and all that. I was taking care of all those for about 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you were putting in the sprinklers. You were putting in the sprinklers, and we were putting in the glass so it would knock. We were hanging the glass so you would the water would reflect off it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we now put sprinkler by the glass, too, to protect the glass.
That's right, too.
They got a window sprinkler now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing? What's your biggest, what do you do now, right now?
Nothing. I retired 10 years ago, 1998. I retired.
Yeah, but you're in schools now teaching?
No. I went to talk to some great ones here before Christmas. Talking to them about the call turned up.
Uh-huh.
And I was supposed to go talk to the grade five before Christmas, but I never went yet. At a new space school, eh?
Oh, yes, that's right, too, yeah.
See, I'm raising a great-granddaughter, eh? She's an Inland Cree and an Irish.
Okay.
The mother gave her up for adoption in Prince Albert.
Uh-oh.
So we went and picked her up at the welfare office 5.5 uh-huh. years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I'm bringing her up. Mother's got no say, so I'm trying to adopt her now.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, we got to take care of her young.
Yeah, well, even at my age, if I adopt her, I can leave her my pension, eh?
Yeah.
And the pension, the government will pay for her schooling and everything else.
Well, hey, there you go.
And if she goes back, to the mother, she'll have nothing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back with Renee in a minute. In the meantime, if anybody would like to phone in and ask Renee any questions, or make a comment. Here's the new numbers that are on the website now. They've just changed over. It's 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. And again, we're asking for donations to keep me on the air and like I said, it doesn't take very much, the odd donation, or you subscribe to the archive sections, and that'll also help us keep us on the air. And now we're back with Renee again. How you doing, my friend? What do you think of talking on the radio there, Renee?
Well, I was excited all day there. I wasn't too sure what this was going to be all about. Because this is
all new to me, eh? Yeah, it's basically good information. You talk about you growing up and stories, because you know, Renee, we're losing that from our elders. We need to know what it was like to live in those days and be brought up Métis. I mean, there's some good stories and then there's some bad stories, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but we have to know this. And what way else do you have to say is to get people on the air and talk and let them vent, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, see, it's like, let's say, the Fort Jerry's at Bovis and all. I got maps of who owned which river lots, who lived there, how many chickens they had, how many horses. I got all that garbage.
Oh, you do?
Okay.
I'm actually interested because, you know, I'm not too sure. I know a lot about where my, when they moved out of Manitoba. I'm talking about my great-grandfather, Isidore Villeneuve. Sorry.
Villeneuve.
And when all I have is so far about his information is when he was in the St. Laurent settlement in Saskatchewan, you know, Batoche and all that stuff. So,
yeah, right after
and
me,
all I
know,
go ahead.
I have maps of in St. Vital on the river there, and the Fort Garry in St. Vital, that's pretty well all together, the Assiniboine and the Red. And who had the river lots, their names, what the lot number, and everything. And I've got my own Mitchiff genealogy book.
Wow.
Tell me whether you work for the bay or whatever, huh? Whether you were a boatsman. I got all my own because waiting for Nanaimo and Bruce Dumont, I wait forever.
Yeah.
So I get my own stuff.
Yeah. So listen, so if somebody was interested in phoning you and you don't mind, would you mind if somebody...
They can phone anytime. They can email anytime. Like I say, my email is on my web page, on the Mitchiff.
Yep. And
email.
What is your website?
It's at deeprew1@telos.net.
Okay.
It's all written down on the web page. Okay.
Yep.
On the Mitchiff trading post, and I think my phone number is on there too. But just in case, it's 1-250.
Yep.
468-0267.
Yep.
But if they email me, I can.
Go ahead.
If a person emails me, I can phone them back because I'm on a phone plan that doesn't cost me nothing at any time of the day to phone wherever in Canada.
Yeah, and you can help
price.
Them. And you can actually help them locate river lots and.
I got all the river lots. I'd have to dig for that now, but I know I got it.
Oh, there you go. Well, you better start digging them out. Because you never know. You might be busy now, you know. You opened a can of worms.
Yeah, but like I was telling you today there about my great-grandfather there, Robert Chisholm Humayel.
Yeah.
He was not, I don't think he was ever married to that Marion Gabori, the first white woman out west.
Wow.
Because he lived with his holes at the little weasel, okay? I got the book right in front of me. And he had three girls. The oldest one is Antoinette Marie-Rose Lachimagère. And then he had Margaret Lachimagère. Then he had Elizabeth Lachimagère. And he had Jean Lachimagère. Okay, this girl was either an Assiniboine or a Cree, pure blood native. But he was married, La Façon du Pays, for 5 years. Then in 1807, he went to Mistogee, Quebec there, Lower Canada, and came back with Marion Gabori. And that's where I come from.
Yeah. There you go.
On the Gabori side.
They actually flew there and back, on a helicopter.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know, then the natives put him in the cave there and then the ground on the Eagle of God. And the books I read, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Like I read, I got blue, real books coming out of my ears. I must have at least 40, 50 of them. And on one of them, my grandpa went over to Louis Riel in the port. And what he said, Louis, he says, the guards are getting fed up with that Thomas Scott. So Riel asked my grandpa, well, what would it keep to keep the people quiet? He said, shoot them. Okay.
Yep.
And then my great-grandfather, Uncle Andre, no, that's the one who really outstepped on the service chain. He's the one that ordered the firing squad to shoot Scott. That's what I read.
Yeah.
Maybe I should keep quiet about that, eh?
Oh, yeah, we gotta keep that one down on our pants there, so. Well, listen.
But did you see all the ads that I've been putting on the internet?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
You have, eh? I've been putting all things on there. But I go by four names, huh?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going to mention them. But
you better not. We'll leave you incognito.
Your buddy phoned me the other day.
Oh, who?
Your
Ken
buddy.
Fisher.
Ken Fisher. Oh, you heard about it, eh?
No,
he
I didn't.
Me, he asked me for the price. He wanted me to go to Vancouver. If the price was right, he'd give me a job to go talk to my chief. So I never thought of getting back to him.
No.
Because I'm not going to say on the air what he was saying about you.
Oh, well, that's okay. He can say anything he wants.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me.
So I never went out there anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything anyways. He's, I actually had a talk with him. We were invited to go to the UBC, grand opening, and this was probably in 2003, they were talking about the rebellion in 1885, and you know, and they were talking about the prisoners, and so they asked me to come up and do a little talk on the things, and they had a picture of all the prisoners there, and they asked me if I was talking about who they were and, you know, what was the purpose behind them and, you know, what was the idea behind the whole thing. And I asked Mr. Fisher if he would come up and ask him. I said, Mr. Fisher, your grandparents were part of the resistance. And what he said to me, he said, yeah, he says the Canadian soldiers came in and they looted his store and then he put a claim in to get his money back, and he says we were the only ones that ever got any money back from the Canadian Army because of the things. And I'm thinking to myself, oh wow, you know.
But I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you ever noticed, whenever they want money, they mention the name Louis Riel.
But
when they don't need nothing, it's always Gabriel Jumeau.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I put a note on there the other day. Maybe they should apply for money for their Christmas dinner in Gabriel Jumeau's name. They might be eating turkey instead of seagulls instead of turkey.
Yeah.
And somebody put me a little note on there. Well, I says it must taste like squab.
Yeah.
I know the person. Yeah. I'm not going to mention the name.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, we know all that.
But this is what I put down anyway, and I said that in the next one I wrote, I said, if Gabriel Jumeau, he might have been good to war topics, but if he was so good, he would have hung right alongside the Louis Riel. He wouldn't have escaped the Montana and joined the Wild West show.
Yeah, that's right.
I never heard no more.
There you go. So
case closed.
Well, listen, Renee, I'm going to ask you one final question here, and then you see what you want to say to this. Do you have any plans in the future to pass the Machif language onto the Métis people, and how are you going to accomplish that?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I got the little girl that I'm raising here. I'm going to be giving everything to her. You know, and she's a little Métis. But how I'm going to accomplish it, I don't know. I got 3 grown-up kids in Vancouver. I talk to them, and they don't understand a word of French. You know what I mean?
Yeah, have you got a daughter, Michelle?
I got a daughter, Michelle. I got a daughter, Charlene.
Yeah,
I got
did
a
you
son,
want
Daryl.
Do you want to say hello to Michelle? Because she's probably listening to you on the radio tonight.
Nope. No, I don't talk to that one, but I'll say hello to Charlene and Daryl. I know they're listening. And I'll say hello to Mr. Belcourt and Bob Duchamp. I know they're there, too.
There you go. Yeah.
Because I know a few of those people in this family.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So have you got, have you, are you wanting to pass on the CD to everybody and try to get it out there so everybody really understands the Michif language, eh?
Yeah, if anybody wants one, I can get some more made. I got about 35 of them made now left, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But if I have to get some more made, then it takes about 2 weeks waiting by the time they make them.
So if you want to get a CD from Rene, and it's the French-English Michif. Yeah, CD. And it's also, you can get him on.
It also has a dictionary then.
Yeah, and it's got
a CD and a dictionary.
There you go. And his number here is 1-250-468-0267. And you can get yourself a copy from Rene. Just give him a call. And if anybody else is interested as well in names and river lots, there you go. You can get it from there. So, what else have you got to say, Rene?
I don't have too much. All I got to say, the French Michif and the English, it sounds the same, but it ain't the same, okay? It's just spelled different.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know what the people want me to tell them a couple of words or what.
Yes.
Well, okay, I can tell them. Okay, I'll tell them some easy stuff, okay?
Yep.
Let's say like dog in English. It's a Chien Canadian French, C-H-I-E-N. And
yep.
French Michif, it's S-H-A-E-N.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like a bear is ours, it's spelled like ours. It's O-U-R-S, and French Michif, it's Noor, N-U-R.
Wow, there you go.
So there's lots of difference. And
yes.
The stove, yeah, there's lots of difference. But like I said, with the CD, I give three sheets of language in three languages, okay? English, French, and French Michif.
Yeah. Now listen, Rene, we are going to have your website linked up to the Michif Museum, and we're also going to have you. We're also going to have you so that we're going to make you a blog on the on our community website there. So if there is anybody interested in getting your information out there to you, we want to do that. Like you can actually put your own blog on there about, you know, river lots and you know, I noticed that you were on there and talking about galette.
Oh, yeah, I put a recipe. I ate lots of galette. I still make my own, eh?
Yes, there you go.
Today I still make galette. Oh, yeah. But I make mine in the oven, not fried bread.
I like mine in the oven, too. I'm, as you know, Mr. Larson, Mr. Richard Lucier Larson.
Richard Larson, yeah.
Richard,
Mr.
yeah.
Mr. Capote.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Richard, Mr. Capote.
Yeah,
I know his brother too.
Yeah, he calls me the Banna King. The Gillette of the Gillette.
But my dad would eat nothing else, eh? Like Mom used to make bread too.
Yeah.
But him and his cadet, then he'd take the fat off the pork, that was his butter. Then he'd pepper that real black. But that's
all he needs.
He wouldn't wear his feet. The only thing he couldn't eat was peanuts. Anything else, apples, you name it, he ate it with his gums.
Oh, boy. Listen, you also, my brother was telling me a little story about, is it true that beans was one of the biggest, like, bean soups and bean and pork and, was that
Yeah, we had
Boudette.
Andy Boulette, you know what that is?
No,
tell me. Into little round balls. The Boulette, and
yes.
You get all the stuff in the garden, you know, fresh green beans and carrots and all that stuff cooked together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that used to be good stuff.
Oh, boy.
I miss that stuff. Oh, the tourchea.
Huh?
Did you ever have that, the tourchea?
No, I haven't.
That's hamburger again. But it's
yeah, yeah.
Meat pie,
Oh, you mean what? Tortiere.
Yeah.
It's called tortiere. Yeah, I make my own tortiere. I make my own, and I use wild meat and pork.
You know, that's one thing I can't eat wild meat. I'm wild enough myself already.
Yeah.
I just figured to leave that in.
Yeah, I figured that.
But I don't like wild meat too much myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you know what I do is I started using regular ground pork, but then I did a little switch here. I used I can go get some actual sausage meat that is already spiced up, and the sausage meat is already, which is pork, which takes a lot of the wild flavor out of it, and lots of onions and potato in there. Lots of onion and potato.
What do you think about that hunting case there in Manitoba?
Well, that's okay, but you know what? I don't know
wasting
our time. Huh?
That's $300,000 wasted on a dead duck. Because you can only hunt in northern Manitoba.
Oh, yeah.
Anything southeast or west of Portage Avenue, which you know yourself, the fort is south of Portage, you can't hunt.
Yeah, I know.
You can't hunt at all.
Yeah, it's terrible. It really is terrible.
Yep.
Well, listen, Renee, I'd like to thank you for being on Métis Voices Radio. I'm just going to wind her up here. And again, if anybody is interested in talking to Renee, here's his number. I'm going to give it to you right now. It is 1-250-468-0267. Thanks, Renee, for being on our radio program, and we're going to call you back sometime, and you're going to sort of put on a Machif language program for us.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow, 1 o'clock.
Oh, you betcha. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Renee.
Okay, buddy. Okay.
Bye. I also would like to remind everybody about the fun contest that the Machif Métis Museum is putting on for everyone to participate. It is going on now. Please check it out. It's the Machif Museum website, www.machifmetismuseum.org. On the calendar of events page, the details and clues of the contest are on that page. Also, please send back feedback with us. We'd like to know how we're doing at our Métis Voices radio show. We'd like to hear from you. You can get it through the BBS radio homepage, call them on the left-hand side, and also be sure to visit the museum website at www.machifmetismuseum.org. Or join our community site, the Machif Trading Post, at http://machifmetismuseum.ning.com. And also, we'd like to remind you about the donations. If there's a possibility of you wanting to donate, there is on the BBS radio program on our Métis Voices radio page, there's a PayPal donation button on site on our page. And also, if you subscribe to our archive sections, that also will help us continue the show. And next week, because I'm back in school, we're going to be playing an archive, and we'd like to everybody a safe journey. And merci. And we also, it's time to close, and we would like to thank our sponsors, Don and Seth, and the gang at BBS Radio for allowing us to present this program each week, so you can help us if you donate. Thank you very much.